From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, February 8, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Victoria Addison is reporting in the Daily Mail that U.S. Representative John Faso voted with the majority in the House last week to overturn an Obama-era policy that prevented certain people who received Social Security disability benefits from purchasing a gun. The policy was finalized in December and would have added approximately 75,000 people to the National Background Check database. That database is used by licensed gun dealers to screen potential firearm buyers. The individuals who would have been added to the database have mental health conditions that make working and managing their own affairs impossible and require someone else to receive benefits on their behalf. Faso said, and I quote, "The regulation is an overreach. What the Social Security Disability Administration was doing was basically adding another criteria, so if someone was deemed by them as not being capable of conducting their financial affairs, they would therefore be put on the prohibited list from exercising their Second Amendment rights," end quote. The policy was inspired in part by the 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut, where shooter Adam Lanza killed 20 children and 6 educators. Faso said he received numerous complaints from firearms owners about the policy. In other gun-related legislation, the Kinderhook Republican is a co-sponsor of the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act of 2017, introduced on January the 3rd. That measure will allow individuals to carry or possess a concealed handgun in another state that allows individuals to carry concealed firearms. Faso said, and I quote, "This has been a long-standing bone of contention among sportsmen and gun owners and law-abiding people who get snared in an inadvertent violation of the law because they cross the state line," end quote. The bill would also allow qualified individuals to carry or possess a concealed handgun in a school zone or on federally owned lands that are open to the public. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. The Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is reporting on its Facebook page that it was notified on Tuesday, February the 7th, that a community member was detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement outside of his home in Hudson. Rose Atchison writes in the Register Star that Hudson Police Chief Edward Moore said the police department was contacted by ICE on Tuesday morning and told immigration officials had detained a man from El Salvador. Moore alleged the individual was convicted of sexual assault in 2000 and deported. Moore denied the Hudson police initiated the investigation. He was unable to confirm the man's name or provide any additional details. According to the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, it is in the process of, and I quote, "ascertaining the facts of the case," end quote. The group said other purported detentions occurred in the county on Tuesday as well. WPDH Poughkeepsie is reporting that the Livingston Bay Suarez Family Brewery has been named the 10th best brewery in the world by Rate Beer Best. Suarez's Unfiltered Pilsner was named one of the best pilsners in the world as well. The small family-owned brewery opened last summer. According to Draft Magazine, brewer Dan Suarez used to brew for Greenpoint Beer Works, Six Point, and Hill's Farmstead Brewery in Vermont, where he worked with Sean Hill. Hill was recently named one of the best brewers in the world. The beer menu at Suarez Family Brewery consists of farmhouse beers, low-alcohol and aromatic beers that Suarez calls crispy littles, as well as unfiltered pilsners. Nick Oliveri reports in the Register Star that the Hudson Elks Club will pay property taxes in 2017 after the fraternal organization got an exemption in 2015 and 2016. Cheryl Kazluga, City of Hudson tax assessor, said in a February the 1st email to the Register Star, and I quote, "The exemption has been removed for the 2017 tax roll. I had looked into it further and decided the exemption should not be granted," end quote. The City of Hudson, local schools, and county did not get $28,000 in property taxes for the 2 years from Local Lodge 787 of the Benevolent and Protective Order of the Elks of the U.S. No one from the Elks Lodge 787 returned the newspaper's phone calls for comment. You can read that full story in the Register Star. RPI's Impact announced that Iranian hand drummer Mohammad Reza Mortazavi will not be performing as scheduled on March 3rd because of the new immigration ban in the United States. A statement on the webpage for the concert says, and I quote, due to President Trump's executive order preventing immigration and visiting visas to the United States from a number of countries, we regret to announce that we will not be able to obtain the necessary artist visa for this concert. We hope to offer a related program in its stead. Impact, located in Troy, says Mortazavi is, and I quote, considered one of the most innovative and virtuosic hand drummers in the world. He has dominated elite international competitions since the age of 9. Mortazavi is most well known for re-envisioning the traditional ways of playing the tambak, an ancient Iranian goblet-shaped drum, and developing over 30 new striking and finger techniques, not always to the delight of old masters, end quote. William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that the Kingston Common Council will vote in the evening of February the 7th on a resolution asking the State Department of Environmental Conservation to develop an enhanced public participation plan for the proposed Pilgrim Pipeline project. The resolution wants an increased public input before a draft scoping document is created for the proposed project. Megan Weiss-Rowe, the city's Director of Communications and Community Engagement, said, and I quote, this asks for enhanced participation in the process, which would slow down the environmental scoping process. It will allow Kingston to have more say in the process, end quote. If approved, the pipeline would carry unrefined Bakken crude south and refined fuel north, largely along the I-87 corridor from Albany to New Jersey. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Casey Seeler reports in Capital Confidential that on February the 7th, 40 activists interrupted the joint budget hearing on taxation in Albany. The activists wore T-shirts identifying them as from the Alliance of Quality Education, Vocal New York, Citizen Action, and Make the Road New York, and they protested in favor of the extension of the millionaire tax, undocumented immigrants' rights, school funding, and state support for CUNY and SUNY. When protesters interrupted the meeting a second time, Assemblyman Denny Farrell threatened to lock the doors, which seems likely would be against fire codes and the state's open meetings law. You can read that full story in Capital Confidential. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a chance of rain before 7 a.m., then a chance of showers between 7 and 11 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 48 degrees. For Wednesday night, snow is likely, mainly after 3 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 25. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, the National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory from 2 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday. Snow will overspread the region Thursday morning. The snow will become heavier and steadier during the morning commute and continue into early afternoon before tapering off. The temperature high for Thursday will be 27 degrees. Snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches is possible. For Thursday night, a slight chance of snow showers before 7 p.m., then a chance of snow showers after 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 10 degrees. Wind chill values for tomorrow will be as low as minus 1 degrees. And on Friday, a slight chance of snow showers, partly sunny with a high near 24 degrees. Friday night, light snow likely, mainly after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 15. Sunrise today was at 6:59 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:20 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 20 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 8th day of February 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.